It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. More than a year ago, a massive earthquake hit Turkey and Syria. More than 50,000 people were killed in Turkey alone, and another 1.5 million were left homeless. We spoke with UW-Madison graduate student Emery Bozer shortly after the quake, and now WPR producer Joe Tarr checks in with Bozer a year after the disaster to learn what he witnessed in his visit to his native homeland of Turkey months after the quake.
To be honest, we spent about a month in Turkey last summer with my wife, but we had a very limited time to visit our families, and neither of our hometowns are near the physically affected cities. So my experiences only rely on other people's, my friends. So I didn't see anything myself, but I know a lot of my friends either live there or their families live there. They all moved to, like, many people moved to other cities. Especially, I heard a lot of people moved to the capital, Ankara. Since I'm a teaching major, I have a lot of teacher friends working for the Minister of Education. They moved to other cities. Sometimes my friends, those friends, go back to those cities for, like, visiting for some reason, and they share some snapshots or, like, some footage on social media. Although I've never been to those cities before, like, yet so far, I can clearly see how it was affected. And sometimes the streets are so empty, or some places, they do not have any building probably they had before. It doesn't sound, or it doesn't seem good so far.
Yeah. How are the other parts of Turkey that maybe weren't affected by the earthquake? Are they seeing a lot more people looking for work or living there? Like, has that shifted the population of the country around?
One thing I heard, it is related to the earthquakes. Again, is, like, there's this possibility to have, like, there's this expected a big earthquake in Istanbul, the biggest city in Turkey. And I know a lot of, especially young professionals, you know, working online, they change their cities, like, they move to other places with the fear of a possible earthquake, because it might be, like, Istanbul might be a lot more vulnerable to such an earthquake, because we talk about a city with maybe, I don't know, like, 20 million people living there. But I don't know much about, you know, other cities, like, how the demography changed, or I don't know much about that.
When you were on the morning show last year, you talked about how you have friends in Turkey who lost their housing and were living in tents. Have your friends or family members, have they been able to get permanent housing? What's that process been like for them?
Interestingly, like, surprisingly, some houses, you know, remained okay to stay in, I guess. And I know a couple of my friends still live in the same houses. One thing that I realized, like, during this process is, it is not sometimes a wise decision to, you know, bring up the subject if, like, unless the other person is not willing to talk about. Because all my first person experience, you know, people are going through some sort of PTSD because of this, you know, earthquake happening. So I kind of let them talk about it if they want to talk about it. I know a lot of them moved. I know a lot of them lost some family members or friends or colleagues. So yeah, they sometimes share some things, like some memories on Instagram. But I know a lot of people still live in tents, and they have problems having an access to drinking water, or also, like, some other things. Yeah, there are a lot of things going on still in those areas.
How do you feel like the country was affected overall by the earthquake, just in terms of, you know, daily life, the economy? What effects did you see when you were back?
I think the biggest thing we can talk about is, like, there's this mistrust issues with the government, I guess, not with the government itself, but also, like, at every scale of, like, administration, at the local scale as well. Because it was right after the earthquakes happened, there was this presidential election, which Erdogan got elected again. So during the presidential elections, there were a lot of campaigns that raised the hopes for people to rebuild the country, not the country, but rebuild those, you know, affected 11 cities. We knew, at least, like, personally, I was, like, thinking a lot of promises were like beyond the reality. But yeah, still it raised people's hopes and a lot of them remained unfulfilled. We can talk about this ongoing declining trust in authorities, let's say.
I'm talking with Emre Bozer, a graduate student at UW-Madison and a member of the Madison Association of Turkish Students. How do you see that mistrust that people have with institutions or the government? You know, how does that play out?
Yeah, there is this ongoing immigration to other countries, especially from the young professional people. But like one thing I can say, there has been this donation collected about, this is my math, it might not be accurate, but right after the earthquake, I guess about $4 billion were donated from people and like, I don't know, business people, like some rich people, I don't know. So I don't think the authorities have been like transparent about how that, you know, claim money being used towards these people's needs. There are a lot of people mentioned that, you know, like there are a lot of money donated, collected. So where, you know, this much of money, but I don't think it had been used, you know, like wisely, because if it was the case, I don't think that many of people would be suffering to find even drinking, you know, clear water.
So people just feel like there's all this money and they're not seeing
much progress. Yeah, I guess it was in the past 2 months, I guess Turkey, like there, some number of Turkish soldiers got killed in action. And then one of them, like one of their like family lived in earthquake tents. I mean, their parents, an old couple, I think it drew people's attention. You know, a lot of people still live in tents. And then I guess soon after that, they were provided with some proper housing. So people were questioning why it didn't happen in the first place. Still, a lot of people live in tents. And I don't know how authorities prioritize to whom to give houses, or I don't know about this system, but I guess as a citizen myself, there's a lot of mistrust issues with the authorities at every level.
Well, you know, you talk about the tents, did you see any of them?
I didn't see any tents myself because I never been to the affected areas, but you know, the 6th of February was the like the anniversary of the earthquakes, and it was on the mass media. It got a lot of attention before and during that week, I guess. So I followed the news and I watched some news interviewing people in front of their tents. And you can clearly see their hygiene problem as well, because that area in the summer, it is not safe to be in a tent. And in the winter, it's not safe to be in a tent either, for different reasons, for humid, for, I don't know, like the cold, rain, and a lot of old people, you know, it is difficult. It is really saddening to see such scenes.
What do you think people in America can learn from the earthquake, a disaster of this size?
I think this is something I learned along the way as well, especially from the interviews, like accounts of the survivors. A lot of people were highlighting, you know, the fact that like yesterday I was rich and I had everything, a happy family and like a good property, you know, housing, and now I don't have anything, because many people, not only their properties and also their whole family, they lost. So that is, I think, something telling for everyone in the world. So earthquake is, you know, predictable and unpredictable in a way, you know, depends on where you live, but this being educated and knowing what to do and, you know, precautions about it are very important. And also, I don't know, it just, when I think about it, I also think about people's accounts and how valuable things we already have, you know, and how overnight we can lose everything.
Emre, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is producer Joe Tarr speaking with Emre Bozer, a UW-Madison graduate student from Turkey who is studying language acquisition. And if you'd like to help the ongoing recovery in Turkey, Bozer recommends giving to this humanitarian group, AHBAP.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show, and it is the one-day winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Keely Baltina, and I want to put an emphasis here on one-day winter member drive. That is right. Today is the only day we'll be on air asking for your support.
Okay, that means fewer interruptions to your favorite programs. That's true. It also means we need to raise 7 days worth of donations in that one day. So your gift right now, super important. You can make the one-day drive a success by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today, a generous group of current members will match all contributions up to $75,000. So making this one day quite monumental. And that means your support for the essential public service you rely on will go twice as far.
An ongoing monthly gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. And let me just say it again, $75,000. Mm-hmm. Join in now. Start your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've just been hearing about recovery in Turkey after that massive earthquake about a year ago. And just reflecting on that coverage, we're not just like one and done with news developments here on WPR. You know, we trace stories through time. We hear directly from the voices of Wisconsinites who are affected. These are the kinds of conversations that unfold over time, and they are what you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, and WPR is listener supported, and that means this effort to take things that can seem really far away or really disconnected from our busy lives, your donation supports that work. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make those topics, those news updates you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And this member drive adds some more WPR to your wardrobe. Ask for the new WPR sweatshirt when you give $30 a month or more. This lightweight crew neck, it features a badger listening to its favorite radio station. That is WPR. Of course, all badgers do listen. Celebrate the Badger State and WPR's essential public service when you ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Join Joan. Go to WPR.org. You can call 888-202-2552 to make your donation on this one-day winter member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina. Your support during this winter member drive, it makes the news and the talk and the music you enjoy each day on WPR possible. And so your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it up as, that is the right amount.
Now is the time to give. Give while you are thinking about it. Maybe you make a list and you add it to the list. That's great. Sometimes most days I don't get through everything on my list. So we have these lofty goals for the rest of Wednesday. Wednesday will pass very quickly. You're listening now. You're thinking about it now. You're supporting it now. Give now. It takes just a few minutes of your time to make that contribution to WPR.
Like Keely said, just don't put it on a to-do list. Just take care of it now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And in just a few minutes, you'll have that really good feeling of supporting the programs you value.
Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for a lot of different reasons. We're hearing some of them this morning as we get feedback from people about why they choose to donate in honor of their grandpa or because they value the service. We're not going to pretend to understand exactly why you're going to donate this morning, but we thank you for it. And giving to WPR is just one way that you can make a difference and help your local community.
Your contribution now, today, not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover WPR. As I mentioned before, no paywalls here. Make that difference with a gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you, at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I want to talk just a little bit more about that, Kate, because we do hear from listeners who say, I can't donate right now, but thank you so much for what you're doing. Or I can donate right now, and wow, I'm so grateful for the times that other people were able to step up when I didn't have it in my budget, when I simply couldn't give. And so this is about the programming that you listen to, but it's also about creating this incredible, important service for your community and for your entire state. So remember that while you donate for yourself, you also donate for everybody around you. And that's pretty incredible. You can do that now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget this member drive. Ask for that new WPR sweatshirt when you give $30 a month. It features a badger listening to WPR. It's a stylish way to show off your support for WPR's essential public service. Ask for yours when you give $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that $30 a month is doubled right now. We've got Jay and Mekwan who says, WPR starts my day off right with a needed balance of perspectives and always timely topics. Jay, thanks so much for being with us here on The Morning Show. Thanks for your support of WPR. Join Jay now. Your gift is powerful at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.